From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. Anchor men want to be me, anchor women want to be with me. I'm Bill Cooley. And here is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you so much. So good to be back with you. Got a great show for you today. Mindy Kaling, who is so great, will be joining us later to play Not My Job. Very excited about that. But first, a more serious note. Many of you wrote in after last week's show to protest our guest, Ms. Kim Kardashian. Aww. No, they did. And they said, you said, a celebrity like her wasn't up to our standards of intellectual rigor. And we want to say, you're right, we let you down. And I hope that if you listen to this week's show, we can once again regain your trust by doing the great work that we do. Coming up, we'll be playing our usual games, such as Lightning Fart in the Blank, Celebrity Pull My Finger, and of course, the Listener Limerick Wet T-Shirt Contest. So, if you're up for some high-minded intellectual hijinks, give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Let's welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Steve from Milwaukee.
Milwaukee. What do you do there in Milwaukee?
I work in wholesale auto parts.
Wholesale auto parts?
Yes, sir.
So you're shoveling the carburetors out the door?
Not so much anymore, but, you know, brake pads. Yeah.
I don't know anything about cars.
Me neither.
Did I prove that?
Me neither.
Yeah. Well, Steve, let me introduce you to our panel. First, it's the host of Public Radio's variety show, Livewire. It's Luke Burbank.
Hey, Steve.
Next, a contributor to CBS Sunday Morning and the host of CUNY TV's Science Goes to the Movies, it's Faith Saley.
Hey, Steve.
And the man behind Esquire's politics blog where the pixels are made of fire, it's Charlie Pierce.
Hi, Steve.
Steve, welcome to the show. You're going to play Who's Bill this time. Bill Curtis is now going to read for you three quotations from the week's news. Your job, correctly identify or explain just two of them. Do that, you'll win our prize. Scorekeeper Emeritus Carl Castle's voice on your home answering machine. You ready to play?
I am.
All right. Here is your first quote.
I don't care. I'm really rich.
That was someone announcing his candidacy for president this week who threw his comb-over into the ring.
That would be the Donald.
The Donald. Donald Trump, in fact. Yes, he has flirted with it many times before. But this time, Donald Trump really is running for president.
He really is rich.
He is rich. Donald made this, I call him Donald, he made this long rambling speech where he talked about, well, being super rich. He also said that because he had air conditioning at his launch event, it meant he could handle ISIS. And he said because he once sold an apartment to a Chinese guy, he could handle China. It just kept going on and on. His announcement went on so long that at about the four-month mark, he just segued right into his concession speech. It was...
At about the four-month mark, those actors who were paid $50 to show up for 3 hours
yes.
were like, this isn't worth it.
This is amazing, because one of the things he said when he came out, he descended.
Wait, he came down.
He came down. He descended on an escalator, like some sort of weird suburban mall version of an Egyptian pharaoh, right? And he comes down on the escalator, and he steps down. He says, what a great crowd. Nobody else has a crowd like this. And all these people are yelling Trump, and they have Trump T-shirts. Hired extras. Hollywood Reporter dug out the ad that went out saying they needed extras for the event, $50 for 3 hours, show up, be enthusiastic. Some of the extras got confused, thought it was a Mad Max movie, came dressed for this sort of post-apocalyptic nuclear wasteland hellscape.
Which, ironically, what it would look like if he was elected president.
Pretty much.
Did you see he invited a woman at some kind of rally up on stage to touch his hair?
Did he really?
He really did. This was in New Hampshire, I think.
On the subject of
which.
Did
she then explode? What happened?
She touched it, and he said, see, it's real, it's real.
It's easy to make jokes about this ridiculous campaign, but there is a sort of historic element to it, which is people had totally discounted the Whig Party in this country.
There we go.
I really liked when he talked about his plan for ISIS. He said, it's such a good plan that he's not going to share it. And he said, it's secret, and it's surgical, and it's beautiful.
And it's huge.
Which makes me think that he's going to get Melania's plastic surgeon to be in charge of the Department of Defense.
I know. His you're talking about his wife, Melania?
Yeah, the
which
supermodel.
Is a strange name. He's married to, like, a kingdom in Game of Thrones. All right, very good. Here is your next quote.
Oprah is the obvious choice.
That was one of the many people on Twitter this week nominating Oprah to grace what, which will finally feature a woman.
The $10 bill.
Exactly, the new $10 bill. Woman will be on it. Isn't this great? Women have been on currency before, but it's only been minor, little used currencies like the Susan B. Anthony dollar coin, the Sacagawea dollar, or the Rachel Dolezal 50 or $100 bill, depending on how she felt.
She identifies as 100.
Yes, she does. Putting a woman, we have to agree, on the 10 makes sense. Nobody wants a woman who's just a 1 or a 5. You know what I mean? No, we want a 10.
Boy, you're really going to show all those people that wrote in about Kardashian, aren't you?
Yeah. This is interesting. Alexander Hamilton, who's been in the 10 for many decades, will not be entirely removed. He'll be diminished to a smaller place because we don't want that little lady to have to handle all that by herself. Am I right? What are they doing?
What are they doing? They're also announcing this in 2016 as if it's like this great, you know, great progress, but we have to wait till 2020 because they wanted to commemorate the 100th anniversary of suffrage.
Well, if they're waiting till 2020, it has to be Barbara Walters, doesn't it?
It does, I think.
This is when is it 2020?
Yes. 2020.
Yeah, be announced next year, come out 2020, apparently.
Just in time for us to have completely stopped using paper money.
Exactly. All right, here, sir, is your last quote.
Everyone involved seems to be an idiot.
That could be said about so many things, but it was a headline from Deadspin about the hacking scandal in what sport?
Baseball?
Baseball, yes! The FBI is now investigating the St. Louis Cardinals for cybercrime. Apparently, Cardinals employees hacked into a Houston Astros executive's computer to steal all kinds of sensitive baseball secrets. You know, secrets like, hit them where they ain't. And, come on, batter, batter, swing. It's baseball.
We want a pitcher, not a belly.
Exactly. Yeah, that was that kind of information can really turn your season around. You know? Spies in baseball are very strange. My name is Bonds, Barry Bonds. I don't see it. And we don't, I mean, this was such a dumb thing to do. They left such a trail of evidence behind. It was easily too easy to find out who had done it and why. And, you know, why did they do it? They were probably just watching a baseball game and they got bored. So, screwing around the internet. Who hasn't done that?
Who hasn't committed a federal offense?
Yeah.
Because the seventh inning is taking too long.
Bill, how did Steve do in our quiz?
Steve went 3 for 3.
Congratulations, Steve.
Thanks, Peter.
We want to remind everyone they can join us most weeks right here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Illinois. For tickets and more information, go to WBEZ.org, or you can find a link at our website, waitwait.npr.org. Right now, panel time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Faith, Russian officials continue to deny that they are sending any troops to Ukraine, but analysts think they're not telling the truth about that. What evidence do they now have?
Oh, gosh. Can I have a hint?
Well, not only have Russian soldiers incurred on sovereign Ukrainian territory, but they also make duck faces.
They're taking selfies?
They're
in
taking
Ukraine?
Selfies in Ukraine.
Oh my gosh.
For the past year, Vladimir Putin and his cronies have insisted that Russia is not invading Ukraine.
This is not a gun, it's selfie stick.
Selfie stick, yes, with magazine.
He's 50 caliber selfie stick.
Anyway, this will be news, the fact that they're not in Ukraine, to all the Russians who have been taking selfies of themselves in Ukraine and posting them to social media.
Oh.
And they use hashtags like, here I am in Ukraine, and hashtag invading sovereign country, and hashtag throwback Thursday to when Russia owned all of this.
That's a fun TBT.
Oh, it really is. Charlie, scientists at a Kiel University Observatory were shocked this week when their own scientists confirmed that their 15-year-old intern managed to do what?
Discover a comet.
Not a comet.
A planet.
A planet, yes. Yeah. Their 15-year-old intern discovered a new extrasolar
planet.
And the
funny thing was, Peter, it was out in the parking lot.
It was right there.
I mean, it was just sitting there. Nobody noticed it.
His name is Tom Wag, and he has ruined the lives of interns everywhere.
He didn't get paid, though, I guarantee you that.
No, because we are lucky if our intern can discover the Snickers bar in the vending machine. It's D8, Jesse. It's next to the Sun Chips. Where did this kid come from?
Was this kid like sneaking telescope time in between like sandwich runs?
Yeah, he was interested in astronomy and he was using the telescope and he made an observation and calculated that it must be a planet and it took 2 years to confirm it, but there it is. So this makes Tom the youngest person in history to have discovered named a new planet. Astronomers say they're excited to learn more about the planet the teenager called Uranus 2, my anus. Support for Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me comes from Citrix with GoToWebinar. You can create captivating events that fuel marketing success. GoToWebinar makes it easy to expand your reach, influence the right people, and increase your lead flow. I don't know what that means, but it sounds good. You just need the right business tools. With GoToWebinar, you can create interactive online events that help you engage and capture your audience's attention. Find out more at GoToWebinar.com.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis, and we're playing this week with Charlie Pierce, Faith Saley, and Luke Burbank. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Melanie calling from Houston, Texas.
Hey, how are things in Houston?
Things are wet here.
Yeah, so I'm told. Big storm coming in. What do you do there in Houston?
Well, I'm a mom of two beautiful boys and a third baby on the way in a few weeks.
Congratulations. Oh, my
Thank
gosh.
Thank you. And I'm a psychotherapist in private practice.
Oh, that's great. So do you think has your training in psychotherapy helped you as a mother?
That's laughable.
Really? Well, welcome to the show, Melanie. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Bill, what is Melanie's topic?
Everybody loves ramen.
Ramen noodles are not just for college kids anymore. You go to any city, you'll see the hip ramen places opening up. They're trendy. They're everywhere. It increases the volume of disgusting mouth noises wherever you go. This week, though, we read a story of someone taking their ramen love to an extreme. Guess the true story. You'll win Carl Castle's voice on your voicemail. Ready to play?
I'm ready.
First, let's hear from Faith Saley.
Do you love noodles? Do you love men? Then you'll love Raw Men, an instant soup concoction that's all the rage in Iceland. Created by Gunnar Grimson, a Reykjavik-based entrepreneur, Raw Men offers you a steaming bowl of ramen noodles with a special flavor pouch. It's called the Man Packet. And when ripped open and sprinkled on the hot, meaty broth, it makes your soup smell manly. Meaning, like a man. Inhale the redolence of musk, pheromones, and a tangy tinge of sweat that will make you hungry for a hot dish. That's the scent. When you eat it, it tastes like chicken. Raw Men, whose slogan is, umami is your daddy, has become an instant hit with Icelandic women. But it's gay men from all over Europe who are flocking to Raw Men foam parties. Partygoers dust each other with man packets as they dance all night. As one enthusiastic reveler confesses, I try to stay away from carbs, but I can't resist raw men.
Raw men. The instant noodle that smells the way a man should smell. Your next story of Ramen Emmanuel comes from Charlie Pierce.
Some people speak in tongues. Some people speak in slurps. In keeping with the spirit of the famous internet meme deity, the Flying Spaghetti Monster, the campus ministry at Covenant College, a private Christian institution in South Dakota, has inaugurated a weekly communal meal and worship service on campus every Saturday night. The celebrants are required to bring only their faith and a box of noodles when they come to what is now known as the First Church of Ramen. And the service is now playing to a packed house in the basement of the college's student center. "Look at the way the Last Supper is described," said Wendy Walters, a Covenant senior who's a regular at the First Church of Ramen. "If Jesus and his apostles were alive today, they'd be eating ramen like the rest of us, and maybe ramen would have been a sacrament for 2,000 years. The Reverend Founts hopes to expand the First Church of Ramen to other colleges and universities, be they specifically Christian institutions or not. "We spread the gospel through ramen as we spread the gospel of ramen," he said. "It's the medium through which we bring the message of salvation. Plus, it's good for you, too."
A ramen sacrament from Charlie Pierce. Your last story of noodles in the news comes from Luke Burbank.
Who doesn't love a piping hot bowl of delicious ramen? No one. That's who. But of course, there's the sodium and the calories you've got to watch out for. Thankfully, though, a man named Ichiro Furuya has come up with an elegant solution. And that solution is submerging people in an even larger bowl of piping hot, delicious ramen. That's right, patrons of Unison Spa House in Hakone, Japan, have taken to soaking in ramen noodle baths, also known as the world's grossest jacuzzis. At a cost of 4,300 yen, or about $35 U.S., Furuya claims the high levels of collagen in the beef broth improve the skin, while the warm temperatures speed up metabolism. While one American interviewed described the experience as, quote, slimy, photos from the spa house show smiling Japanese families packed into giant bowls of soup, complete with noodles, broth, and a growing suspicion that those bubbles near grandpa are not part of the culinary process.
Yeah.
Ew.
All right, Melanie, here are your choices. From Faith Saley, Ramen, the instant ramen noodle flavor packet that tastes just like man. From Charlie Pierce, the First Church of Ramen, where ramen has become a religious sacrament, and from Luke Burbank, ramen noodle baths in Japan, where you can actually float in a bowl of ramen for your health and wellness. Which of these is the real story of ramen in the news?
Gosh, as tempting as Luke's story is, I think I'm going to go with Charlie's story about the First Church of Ramen.
The First Church of Ramen in South Dakota. All right. Well, we spoke to someone familiar with this real noodle story.
The actual baths are shaped like ramen bowls, and there are noodles hanging over your head while you bathe.
Oh, no!
Oh, no! I agree with you. I agree with that response. That was Erin Moss Baugh. She is the editor at the food website firstwefeast.com, and she was talking about the horrifying, yet apparently very lovely, ramen noodle baths at a spa in Japan.
Wow.
If you've ever wanted to be a fish cake, just floating there, you can do that. So I'm sorry, you didn't win. Frankly, I wouldn't have picked that one because I wouldn't want it to be true. Melanie, thank you so much for playing with us today. Bye-bye.
If you're hungry and you need a little snack, you can get it for like 10 cents a pack. Yourself some protein with zero trans fat. Oh, chicken.
And now the game where we like to invite on very accomplished people, like Kim Kardashian, so they can take a little quiz we call Not My Job. Mindy Kaling went from being the youngest writer on the staff of NBC's The Office to being a star, producer, and director of that show. She went on to create her own sitcom, The Mindy Project. She is also the voice of disgust in the new Pixar movie Inside Out. We are delighted to have her with us. Mindy Kaling, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. So whenever I talk to very funny grown-ups like yourself, I always want to know, were you a funny kid?
No, I was like a silent, sullen, fat kid. That was my thing.
Really?
Yeah, I was kind of a like I was kind of unfriendly and suspicious of everyone around me. Well, and then I didn't talk until I was about 15 is a kind of famous story in my house.
Really?
So you
were,
yeah.
Were you writing furiously in a diary or something? How were you expressing yourself?
That would have been so much better. I did a little bit of writing, but mostly I was just like harboring jealousies and anxiety.
It's so great that you got into this kind of work then, because there's no room for jealousy or anxiety in Hollywood.
So, I found it to be smooth sailing, 100% smooth sailing my whole career.
I think obviously everything's gone perfectly well for you. In a weird way, it has, because you're extremely funny and talented. And when did you start like acting that way?
Well, I think when I was younger, I would audition for plays in junior high and high school, and I would always get cast as, like, the homeless woman or a vagrant.
Was that a high school play or a Phil Collins video?
No, exactly. And so my parents would come to shows, and God bless them, they would try to muster up some excitement. They're like, oh, I see you're playing another hobo. And I'm like, yeah. So that happened, like, 23 consecutive times until I moved to New York City after college. And then I wrote a play, and after that play, I got hired on The Office.
Well, it's kind of amazing. I want to stop and talk about that play, which I wish I could have seen. The play was you and a friend of yours who was also female playing Ben Affleck and Matt Damon.
Yeah.
And you were Matt, right?
I was actually Ben. I'm surprised you couldn't have guessed that.
Yeah, well, you're so... Come on, Faith.
I'm so
She's
sorry.
So obviously more of a Ben.
I'm so obviously my demeanor, my interests. I mean, but yeah, we played... we wrote this little play, a little strange, like hour-long play, comedy play. It's just a two-person play where we played Matt Damon and Ben Affleck when they were 21 years old. And the premise of this whole story was that I'm trying to adapt Catcher in the Rye into a movie to star in. It's like as Ben Affleck at 21 years old.
When you were doing Ben Affleck,
When you were performing
Ben Affleck.
That's not a lot better.
Did you actually try to imitate Ben Affleck?
By the way, this is extremely challenging when you sound like a 12-year-old girl that you decide your first professional endeavor is to play like a very macho dude. But he was always very miffed at Matt. Like, he always felt the character as we wrote him was always very miffed at, like, Matt was trying to, like, make other friends and, like, go do stuff.
Yeah.
He would always be like, hey, man. What, I've been waiting at Cosi for like 2 hours. What were you? Who were you hanging out with, huh? Like, that was like, he was just, that was him.
That, I mean, wait a minute. That part right there, that was Ben Affleck and not you?
Hey, listen, okay, I didn't say I was like some virtuosic comedian with impressions.
So you did incredibly well on The Office. You became well known and you got your own sitcom. And could you describe the character that you chose to play in that sitcom? You created it yourself, right?
Yeah, she's kind of a disaster. Like, she's a very... Mindy Lahiri, the character I play in the Mindy Project, is, like, very selfish, very wild. The kind of fun thing about the show is that my character dated more men than I've ever met in my life.
Really?
Like, she's dated, I think she's dated, like, I think I've certainly made out with, like, 30 men on my show or something like that.
I understand that in your book you reveal that all actors lie about sex scenes in some way.
Yes, that is probably my biggest contribution, I think, with my book, is that every actor pretends that they hate sex scenes, and the truth is that they all love them and they're lying.
No, wait a minute. My understanding of the way sex scenes work, and I've never been on a set for a sex scene, but I've read about them, is that you're surrounded by crew, and you're cold, and you have to do it 8 times because they didn't get the lighting. It doesn't sound pleasant, but you think that actors actually enjoy it?
Oh, 100%, yeah. I mean, you basically get to make out with a good-looking stranger, and it's, like, the only loophole in existence where, like, that is allowable within marriage. Like,
So, Mindy, I want to ask you about the new Pixar movie, Inside Out, coming out this weekend. It all takes place, or mostly takes place, inside the mind of a little girl, and you play one of her emotions. You play disgust. So what was it like when they came to you and said, we want you, Mindy Kaling, to voice disgust?
I said, how dare you? I've never been so insulted in my life. I'm a beautiful angel. How could you pick me for disgust?
Frankly, I'm disgusted. You would even suggest that.
And I was disgusted. And then I was like, wait a second. I like this character. I know what this is about. Well, the thing with this, with the character of disgust is She's like a tiny green mean girl. She's like a 12-year-old girl who's like incredibly impatient and hates everything and is always rolling her eyes. So I feel like I've made a career off of playing versions of this.
Right.
This was a character, as they say, that was in my wheelhouse.
Right.
Ben Affleck, disgust, like these are the two things I can play.
Really? Well, Mindy Kaling, what a pleasure to talk to you. We've invited you to play a game we're calling...
It's the Home Improvement Project.
So, you do a show called The Mindy Project.
No, I understood it and I enjoyed it. Thank you.
All right. Let's just explain for the slower people. You have a show called The Mindy Project, so we thought we'd ask you three questions about different kinds of projects, home improvement projects. Get two of these right, you will win our prize for one of our listeners. That prize, of course, Carl Castle's voice. Bill Curtis, who is Mindy Kaling playing for?
Olivia Otieno from Nairobi, Kenya.
Really?
Wow.
Nairobi.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. It's
the heat is on.
On two separate occasions, this is your first question. On two separate occasions, Home Depot has faced lawsuits from would-be do-it-yourselfers who were very upset when they went to a Home Depot and what happened. A, they went to the restroom and found that the toilet seats were strongly, quote, adhesive, unquote. B, floor staffers called them, quote, Homo Depot sexuals. Or C, they searched the store for someone to help them and realized the place had been completely abandoned for hours.
Abandoned how? Like Walking Dead style, where there's like no one anywhere there?
That would be more helpful. I have been at the Home Depot looking for help for hours, and if I had seen a zombie with the apron, I would have asked the zombie for help. All right. But one of those things happened twice, leading to lawsuits.
Okay, I wish it was the first one, because that's a great image to have in my head. But I feel it's the last one.
The answer actually was the first one. It was the adhesive toilet seats.
Ow.
This happened once in Colorado and once in St. Louis, and they actually think that the St. Louis incident was a copycat gluer. Somebody heard about the first incident, said, I'm going to do that at my Home Depot. All right. Customers themselves sometimes misbehave down at the Home Depot, such as the case in which two people did what? A, used one of those pre-assembled storage sheds they got in the parking lot for a private assignation, if you know what I mean. B, had a loud and dangerous lightsaber fight in the aisle with fluorescent tubes. C, tried to give one of the many toilets on display a real-life test.
Okay. I'm. Each image was so vivid that I forgot the question.
All right. One of these things happened. Somebody was arrested for one of these things. Was it when, A, two people got into one of those sheds and got busy in the parking lot?
Right. Which is, who hasn't done that? I don't know why anyone would get arrested for that. Yeah. Continue.
You may not have known that was illegal, Mindy, but just for future.
It is my God-given right to go to a shed at any Home Depot and do what I like. Okay?
What if it was the first one?
Yeah.
If it was the first one, I'd say you were right. Do you want to pick the first one?
I want to pick the first one.
You're right.
Hey!
So the way this works is like,
this happened in South Carolina, 2013. The couple was removed from the shed and charged with indecent exposure and disorderly conduct. All right, last question, Mindy. If you get this right, you win. There are plenty of celebrity home improvement specialists you can turn to on TV, including which of these? A, Lee Majors, host of the $6 million bathroom. B, Mr. T, host of I Pity the Tool. Or C, Mikhail Gorbachev, former Soviet premier, host of Tear Down That Wall and Put Up a New One.
The second one's so silly. That can't be real.
Have you seen TV?
You're right. I also produced the silliest show on TV.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, maybe the second one.
Mr. T, I Pity the Tool. Is that your choice?
It is true.
That is the one. Bill, how did Mindy Kaling do on our show?
Mindy got two right. The audience got three right. So put them together. And Mindy's a winner.
Congratulations, Mindy.
Thank you.
Mindy Kaling is, of course, a TV star and producer, a best-selling author, and stars in the new Pixar movie Inside Out opening this weekend. Mindy Kaling, thank you so much for joining us. What fun to talk to you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Wistia. That's a web application that helps your business host, measure, and generate leads from your video. And although this is an audio podcast, Wistia insists on making a video. So let's roll the video. For some clarity on what all that meant, and for a free trial, head to wistia.com/waitwait.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Luke Burbank, Faith Saley, and Charlie Pierce. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. In just a minute, what rhymes with Bill Curtis? Why, you do in our Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Faith, as you know, California is in the midst of a water crisis, and citizens are being asked to conserve and ration their water. One group is fighting back, though, saying they have a special need. Who?
They have a special need for water.
Yeah.
Would it be a group that wants to bathe? Is this? Do they need it for their bodies?
Well, they need it for all kinds of things. But they feel that they have a right to as much water as they want, and they don't understand why other people are saying they can't have it.
Ah, are they rich?
They are rich.
The rich.
They are the rich, in fact. Rich people in California, in the midst of a drought, are saying things like, quote, what am I supposed to do? Just have dirt around my house for 4 acres? Actually, they're not saying things like that. That's one of the things they actually said to the Washington Post. Also, quote, people should not be forced to golf on brown courses.
Wow. Or with brown people.
Yeah.
Yes.
My guess is they're not into that either.
Yeah. And her argument as she was riding her horse around was that she's actually conserving water because their land, this was her argument, big enough for 20 houses, but they only have one. Think how much water that would be compared to the water used by just her, her husband, her horses, her peacocks, her pack of specially bred Yorkie poos, and, of course, her servants, although they, of course, are limited to one cup of water per day.
She's really a conservationist, if you think about
yeah.
it.
Really. This is why Californians have started a new initiative to save their state, watering their crops with the blood of the wealthy. Luke, Mitt Romney knows a lot about running for president because he spent about 10 years doing it. So Hillary Clinton should take it to heart when Mitt criticized her what?
So, let's see.
You're never fully dressed without it.
Her smiling?
Her smiling. Mitt Romney appeared on MSNBC's Morning Joe to share his wisdom as a two-time loser in the race for the presidency. No, he's been through it. And he said of Clinton, quote, when you see her on a stage or when she comes into a room full of people, she is smiling with her mouth, but her eyes are saying, where's my latte, unquote. We're not sure if Mitt was criticizing her smile or her failure to have someone standing by with a latte at all times, as he has. Technically, he is, of course, criticizing her smizing. That's what we call smiling without the eyes, right?
No, smizing is smiling with the eyes. Don't you watch America's Next Top Model, Peter? That's Tyra Banks coined that. Just smiling
enough
with your eyes. The smiles in the eyes. The smize.
And what are you indicating?
It says I'm approachable, I'm normal, and I've got a good plan for the Middle East.
Charlie, we have reported on all kinds of hipster trends, monocles, penny farthings. Now, according to the Daily Telegraph newspaper in Britain, hipsters are bringing what to their favorite coffee shops?
Gherkins.
You mean like the pickles?
Bodkins.
No.
Flagons. Varlets.
Didn't rhyme.
I'm working my way through Dickens here.
No.
Can I have a hint, please?
They're also bringing carbon paper, we assume.
What, typewriters?
Yes, they're all bringing typewriters. Because you know how, you know, all the hipsters, they show up at Starbucks or wherever, and they use up all the free Wi-Fi. Now, apparently, in England at least, they're showing up with typewriters and using up the free sunlight. We don't know. The Telegraph put together a slideshow of hipsters with typewriters in public sitting there, typing away on their one-woman shows. Yeah. Or maybe blog posts, which they then put on the internet via vintage 1964 IBM punch cards.
How do you procrastinate in your writing with the typewriter?
I remember. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You get up and walk away from the typewriter.
Yeah, I know.
Are they relatively? I know this is an oxymoron, but are they relatively modern typewriters, or are they the kind that have? That's what it sounds like, right?
From the pictures I've seen, is like those little typewriters.
With the little Olivetti deals?
Yeah, you'd see like Hemingway sitting there in Spain typing
with a cigar
in his life. Yeah.
I love that sound. I love the sound. You don't hear that.
You do if you go to a coffee shop in England, apparently. Yeah. Unfortunately.
I was about to say, I don't know if I wanted to listen to a battalion of them.
Yeah. It's like, oh, good, I'm at Tin Pan Alley. Like 30 people banging away
on
that.
And you're sitting there having a quiet conversation, reading a book, and there's four guys with a typewriter, one guy with a fax machine. Great. Oh, look, that person brought in a cotton gin.
Hold on, I'm getting a telegram.
Yeah.
Stop. I'm trying to check Tinder on this ship to shore. She does not like you. Stop. Thinks you look a little old. Stop.
Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or click the Contact Us link at our website, which is waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows right here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago, or our upcoming show at the Mann Center in Philadelphia on July 9th, or in Louisville, Kentucky on September 3rd. We're coming to Louisville. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Yes, hi. This is Brian Kelly from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Whoa, what a voice you have, Brian.
Well, thank you very much.
Wow. I'm sorry, I'm feeling a little intimidated.
I'm terribly sorry.
Why don't you be the host and I'll call in? Brian, welcome to the show. Bill Curtis is going to perform for you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase two out of three times, you'll win our prize. Are you ready to do this?
I am.
All right. Let us hear from Bill Curtis. Here's your first limerick.
On a neck that I wanted to throttle, my man had an old wrinkled wattle. But now that he's gone, I'd still like to hold on. I'm preserving his scent in a
bottle.
Yes.
Bottle it is. Good for you, Brian.
You know, Bill, I just want you and Brian to have an in-tone off.
I know. I just want to hear them talk. I feel like I might just ovulate. Go, you guys.
By the third limerick, I might be ovulating. Yeah. This is something. Anyway, the answer to the limerick was bottle. We all want mementos of our departed relatives, but until recently, people with a bottle of Grandpa's scent on their nightstand were considered serial killers. But now, a perfumer in France will take an item of clothing from your dead relatives and synthesize the scent they get from it so you can wear it, and it will provide, quote, olfactory comfort. Right? So if you miss your grandpa, you simply dab the perfume in your pulse points, and you'll be transported back to happier, simpler times, back before you killed him to make perfume.
Yeah. You should not be wearing the perfume. Right, somebody else has to be wearing the scent. Because it's not like, I remember when I used to smell like Grandpa. It's I remember when Grandpa. So you have to find an older gentleman,
yes,
and say, would you mind if I apply this to you?
Yeah.
And then, could you come to my Little League game?
All right, very good. Here is your next limerick.
No hazelnut spread for you, fella. That scourge is far worse than rubella. It uses bad trees, brings the earth to its knees. Do not smear your toast with
Nutella.
Nutella! Yes!
He's so sharp.
France's ecology minister is urging people to stop eating Nutella, the hazelnut spread that makes up approximately 60% of your dad bod. Nutella, she says, is bad for the environment as it contains large amounts of palm oil, which can only be harvested by clear-cutting tropical forests. So sorry, everybody, you'll just have to learn to live without tropical forests. Here is your last limerick.
As man boobs begin to appear, my manopause seems to draw near. I drink lots of hops, so my chest drops and flops. I'm blaming my moobs on this
beer.
Beer, 3-0. Good for you.
Hops, we now know, contain the hormone phytoestrogen, which is responsible for a condition known, and I'm not kidding, as brewer's droop. That is, if you drink enough of it, you will grow your own man boobs. So all you need is enough beer, and then you should get some other beer that'll grow you a beach, a volleyball net, and a bikini top in your size, and you'll never need to leave the house.
Why are people fighting over estrogen?
What?
That stuff you said.
I said, no, I didn't call fighting estrogen. Phytoestrogen.
Oh, okay. I miss
really?
Fight.
Why, those are fighting estrogen. I don't see it. Bill, how did Brian do in our quiz?
Brian got 3, so he's a winner. Congratulations.
Well done.
Well done, Brian.
Well, thanks a lot, and thanks for playing.
Oh, thank you.
Bye, Brian.
Bye.
Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Bill, can you give us the scores?
Luke has 3. Faith and Charlie each have 2.
All right. We have flipped coin, and Charlie has elected to go second, so Faith, you're up first. The clock will start when you begin your first question. Fill in the blank. This week, House Republicans revived the fast-tracked blank bill that was voted down last week.
Trade?
Right. EU officials reported Sunday that last-minute bailout talks with blank had failed.
Greece.
Yes. In an effort to improve work-life balance, Goldman Sachs is now encouraging their interns to blank.
Go home between 12 a.m. and 7 a.m.
Exactly right. To only work 17 hours a day. For the first time in 6 years, the Chicago Blackhawks won the blank.
Stanley Cup.
Yes. This week marked the 800th anniversary of the Magna Carta, which Lord Protector of England Oliver Cromwell once called blank.
A scourge on mankind.
No, he called it, and this is true, the Magna Farta.
I had no idea fart jokes went back
that's
that far.
The great thing. The Magna Carta, of course, first signed 800 years ago this week. But in the 17th century, Oliver Cromwell, confronted with its edict, said, quote, I care not for the Magna Farta. It's comforting to know that fart jokes date back that long. Who could forget Shakespeare's If Beans Be the Food of Love, too tall. Bill, how did Faith do in our quiz?
Faith got 4 right, 8 more points. She has a total of 10 and the lead.
All right. So, Charlie, as per your choice, you're up next. Fill in the blank. On Monday, Rachel Dolezal stepped down from her position as the president of Spokane's chapter of the blank.
NAACP.
Right. During a speech this week, the Pope called for a, quote, global revolution to fight blank.
Climate change.
Right. On Wednesday, the Federal Reserve announced it would continue holding blank rates at historically low levels.
Interest rates.
Right. The California Labor Commission ruled Wednesday that blank drivers should be considered employees, not contractors. Uber, yes. The Boston Red Sox benched third baseman Pablo Sandoval after he blanked during a game.
Well, he's already forgotten how many outs there were, but he did something else this week. He did an Instagram in the bathroom.
Yes, he did. He liked a woman's pictures on Instagram. This week, 2 teens swimming in Oak Island, North Carolina, were victims of separate blank attacks.
Sharks.
Right. Wednesday marked the 130th anniversary of France gifting blank to the U.S.
The Statue of Liberty.
Yes, indeed. A Seattle man named James Tyler, who was wanted by police, was caught this week when he blanked.
Tipped a canoe.
No, when he drove around the city in a car with a vanity license plate with his name on it. As if that weren't enough, when police pulled the man from the car, they noted that he was also wearing a pair of monogram socks, a name tag, and most embarrassingly, his mom had written "Wanted Felon" on the inside of his underwear. Bill, how did Charlie do? It seemed to do pretty well.
He did very well. 7 right, 14 more points, and the total is now 16 and the lead.
So how many, then, does Luke need to win?
7 to win.
This is for the game. Fill in the blank. On Thursday, NBC announced that blank would not be returning as anchor of the nightly news.
Brian Williams.
Right. This week, the FCC proposed fining blank $100 million for slowing down their data speeds.
Comcast.
No, AT&T. According to reports, a recent drone strike in Yemen killed blank's second in command.
Al-Qaeda.
Right. This week, the Iowa GOP voted unanimously to cancel their famous blank.
Straw poll.
Right. A man in Colorado Springs is expected to make a full recovery after he shot himself in the foot in order to blank.
Get out of work.
No, in order to see how it feels to be shot in the foot. For the first time since 1975, the Golden State Warriors won the blank championship.
NBA.
Right. On Sunday, the season finale of blank shattered HBO viewership records.
Game of Thrones.
Right. A six-year-old Welsh girl has fully recovered after she presented the queen with a bouquet of flowers and was accidentally blanked.
Tased.
No. Slapped in the face by a saluting soldier.
Oh.
I know. And then tased.
The young girl who was participating in a ceremony honoring the Queen's visit had just handed off a bouquet of posies when a soldier who was raising his hand to salute accidentally slapped her in the face. She'll be fine, of course. Can't say the same for the soldier who did the deed. He suffered massive bruising after the girl accidentally kicked him repeatedly in the shins in the traditional Welsh foot salute. Bill, did Luke do well enough to win the game?
Well, he got 5 right, 10 more points, total to 13, but that means Charlie is the winner.
Right, well done. Well done, Charlie.
This episode is made possible by Talenti. Now, you may know this, but in about 5 billion years, the sun is going to burn out. It will explode into a supernova, destroying the little bit of ash that is left of the Earth. So with that perspective, why not enjoy what you're eating? For example, Talenti Gelato and Sorbetto. That's the clear one with the twist-off lid. They've got new dense flavors like oatmeal raisin cookie, salted peanut caramel, and coffee toffee, all of which you should enjoy now before the heat death of the universe. To find Talenti at a store near you, go to talentigelato.com. That's Talenti with an I, gelato.com. And don't skip dessert because of entropy.
Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with the Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug West Coast Berman, Benevolent Overlord. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our assistant house manager is Tyler Green. Our intern is Jesse. The pretend is near. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Special thanks to John Zajac and Les Larchick of Chase Bank. BJ Litterman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Walchover and Miles Dernboss. Technical direction is from Lorna White, her CFO is in the end. Our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Special thanks to Nick Gibson and Gary Yak. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog. The executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Keeping Up with the Danforths. Now, panel, who will Donald Trump pick as his running mate as he goes on to glory? Luke Burbank.
Whoever it is, they need to vet them really well because this person will be one hairpiece away from the presidency.
Faith Saley.
Celebrity Apprentice runner-up Clay Aiken so that he can campaign with the slogan, Aiken for Trump.
And Charlie Pierce.
Well, Peter, as you know, according to the Constitution, if President Trump is unable to fulfill his term, the vice president must take his place, which leaves us with the only possible choice, Vice President Trump.
Well, if that happens, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Thanks also to Charlie Pierce, Luke Burbank, Faith Saley. Thanks to all of you for listening. Good to be back with you. I'm Peter Sagal. We will see you next week in Houston. This is NPR.